Stay tuned to the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Welcome back to We the People. This is the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. It is where We the People do gather each and every full episode and on the Casey commentary to foment resistance and push back against the march to Marxism being led by Chairman Joe, Kaklim Kamala, Barack Hussein Obama, George Soros, and other globalists like Klaus Schwab. Remember, you will own nothing and be happy. That's the reason why we have radical open borders. Future Democrat voters and for the globalists. You can't have borders if you want to take over the world. And so they're in the process of trying to wipe out our borders, wipe out our sovereignty, so they can run the world. And I know there's a lot of jokes about New World Order and the Great Reset, but this is real stuff, folks. This is where the rubber meets the road on this show. Thanks for joining us again on the Saturday edition, the Casey Commentary, the House of Sand. You know what it is? I think it's scripture that says that a house of sand is surely going to fall because it is not built on a strong foundation. A house should build on a foundation of rock. And the biblical translation of that is a house built on faith. A house that believes in God is sure to be a happy house, a successful house, and one that offers a strong foundation. The House of Representatives surely is built on sand. And if the past 24 hours doesn't prove to you what I have been saying since day one about the Uniparty, the two parties that take turns driving the bus right over the cliff, the establishment, the swamp, whatever you want to call it, the deep state, it is proven once again. Doesn't matter who the speaker is. Doesn't matter whether it's Sabin John or Paul Rhino or, of course, Kevin McCarthy. Now it's Mike Johnson, who's allegedly a conservative. But he certainly doesn't act like a conservative. Oh, yeah, he talks like he's conservative. He speaks the conservative language. But the proof is in the pudding. And I understand he's in an untenable position. I understand we're going to get into exactly why he's in the hole he's in. But the bill that they passed, the one that they came out of Thursday morning at 2:30 a.m., 1,000 pages, a minibus. These are six continuing resolutions after the last speaker was ousted. His chair was vacated. We had promises from Speaker Johnson. Promises that they would have the 72-hour rule to read the bill after it had been published. Not to violate the Hastert rule, meaning a bill would not be brought to the floor that didn't have the support of the majority of the Republican caucus. Not the majority of the House, but of the caucus. And one by one, those rules have been ignored or have been obliterated by Speaker Johnson. And the reason why is, again, the Uniparty. If you think that the Republicans are going to put up a fight in Washington, think again. There just aren't enough MAGA types, America First Republicans. That's what this November 5th election is all about. Getting Donald Trump back into office and getting more reinforcements, more America First, more MAGA types, more constitutional conservatives that do not believe in growing government, that grow deficits. They want a limited government. They want government off our backs. We want a secure border. We want safe streets. We want great education. We want traditional American family values. The deep state Uniparty, they don't believe in that. They believe in two things, power and money. And that's exactly what is driving the bus these days. So, again, you look at the votes, 101 Republicans voted with the Democrats in this 1.2 monstrosity, this massive spending bill, which does not secure or seal our border, which funds a bunch of radical leftist, wokist causes, you know, gay garden parties and all sorts of gay senior homes and, color clothing donations for transgenders. I mean, I could go down the list here, but you probably already have heard it or read it, or maybe on a future episode we'll do that. But we don't have time for that today. But Once again, I know you're disappointed. I know you're disappointed because you believe, as many do, that the Republicans actually stand for something. And some do, but most don't. And that's our problem. That's our dilemma. Our dilemma is to separate the wheat from the chaff. Now, slowly but surely, Republicans are trying to hand the House to Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats so they can sabotage Donald Trump because they know he's going to get reelected. And that's where you and I come in. So the Senate passed the bill, admittedly, after the deadline earlier this morning. Today's Saturday, March 23rd, 2024, year of our Lord, on this Casey Commentary House of Sand. And so after the deadline this morning, it was 74-24, only 24 Republicans. So about half, about 50% of the Republicans opposed this bill, but about 50% supported. You know the rhinos, the usual suspects. Don't need to name them. You probably already know them. So once again, the deep state, the swamp, emerges victorious, growing government, adding to our deficit, more control over our lives, more disruption of American family values, and not a single damn thing has been done to stop the invasion on our southern border. And you don't think that's important? Look at what happened in Moscow on Friday. Hundreds dead, thousands injured at that terrorist attack at the concert hall in Moscow. Still trying to figure out. I know you're saying ISIS, but I have some doubts about that. We'll get to that in more on Tuesday. But how did we get here? How did we get to the point where Speaker Johnson has got no wiggle room? He's trapped. His choice was really to shut down the government or capitulate to Chuck Schumer. And as usually, this is a Chuck Schumer bill. The Senate is imposing its will on the House because Speaker Johnson and his caucus aren't strong enough to stand up to Chuck U. Schumer and insist on single subject bills and insist we're going to shut this damn thing down unless you secure the border. Just not strong enough. We need principled leadership, and we're not getting it from Brian Johnson, or for that matter, the rest of the elite. Elise Stefanik voted for this nonsense. Steve Scalise voted for this nonsense. The leadership of the Republican Party knuckled under. And, of course, with the rest of the runners. So how did we get here? Well, the 118th Congress, when it was seated this a year ago, just recently, I should say, in 2023 is when they took over. It was 222-213. That was the 435 members of the House. Since that time, Kevin McCarthy resigned in December. Bill Johnson of Ohio retired. And they kicked George Santos out. And for all his baggage, Santos was a MAGA Republican. He was a reliable Trump voter. So now that's down to 219. Brian Higgins, a Democrat, he's out. He retired. So that took it down to 219-212. Well, Santos, they did hold a special election for Santos. And Tom Suozzo, the Democrat, flipped the seat. So it was 219-213. Then this past Friday, Ken Buck, Colorado Republican, he left, he retired, down to 218. Now we get word Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin is leaving as of April the 19th. So now it's 217. They have a one vote majority. They lose one vote, and they're going to be basically depending upon Democrats to pass anything. So those are the margins that Speaker Johnson is working with, and it's not a pretty sight. But again, these Republicans that are retiring, if they were to put their country over their own, none of them, to my knowledge, have retired for health reasons. McCarthy threw a temper tantrum because he lost the gavel. And he might actually be secretly working behind the scenes to foment some of these early retirements, including that of Mike Gallagher. Now, had Gallagher retired and left office prior to April the 9th, there would have been a special election held in Wisconsin that would have held that seat for the Republicans all the way through November. But he says he worked on the timeline with Speaker Johnson. Well, why didn't Speaker Johnson remind him of that? He's accepting his resignation as of April the 19th, meaning that seat will now go vacant until 5 November, actually next January. So, again, I'm not buying any of it. This is the swamp at its worst. This is the Republicans the Republicans. And I hear all sorts of people, and we'll get to MTG here in just a second, because I think what she did was a warning shot. There wasn't any serious attempt. She knows she doesn't have the votes. All these people, who I respect, Clay Higgins and Mark Wayne Mullins and others, defending Speaker Johnson, standing by Speaker Johnson. Again, as he capitulates and runs up the white flag, you know, here's the thing. At the end of the day, he may not have been able to be successful. All we're asking for you to do is fight. And that's what the House Freedom Caucus was saying Friday at their press conference, led by Chairman Biggs and others. You know, Eli Crane was there, and Anna Paulina Luna, and Bob Good, and others. They just said, we just want to fight. Fight for the American people. They don't even fight. They immediately let Chuck Schumer run roughshod all over them. So the numbers aren't good, I'll be honest with you. And I honestly think there is going to be an attempt for another Republican who's going to be pressured to resign, to quit, to retire, and throw the House in control of Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats to help foil and sabotage and slow down the Trump train. So I hope I'm wrong, but I've been watching this way too long. I've been watching the Democrats and the deep state and the establishment. They're so antsy to fight Donald Trump. They've tried to impeach him. They've tried to accuse him of betraying his country with collusion. Now they got 91 counts of lawfare against him. Now they're trying to seize his assets come Monday. If he doesn't come up with a $454 million bond, we'll see how that goes. If Letitia James goes and moves on the Westchester Golf Course or on Trump Tower or Trump Plaza or any one of the Trump holdings, it'll be an automatic reelection. And maybe that's why they'll back off a little bit. But there are going to be some special elections here in the next coming months. Brian Higgins, that's going to stay in Democrat hands. That's coming up on April 30th. And then in May or June, we get special elections for Kevin McCarthy, for Bill Johnson, and for Ken Buck. McCarthy and Johnson, those seats should remain in Republican hands. Never know in Colorado. It's a stoner state. So we'll see what happens with Ken Buck. But Speaker Johnson, when we finally got rid of Kevin McCarthy because he broke his promises to the House Freedom Caucus, to the conference, to the American people, Speaker Johnson vowed things would be different. And things aren't different. One of the things that he has capitulated on is the 72-hour rule. That 72-hour, when a bill comes out of committee, comes out of whatever monstrosity written by lawyers and career staffers and political aides in Washington, the members are supposed to have 72 hours to peruse and review, digest, absorb this nonsense. That did not happen. They released it 2:30 a.m. on Thursday. They voted at 10 o'clock Friday morning. That's about 8 hours or whatever the case may be? 30 hours. It certainly wasn't 72 hours, that's for sure. So violation number one. Violation number two is the Hastert rule. The Hastert rule says that no bill will be brought to the floor of the House under Republican control unless it has the support of the majority of the Republican conference, not the majority of the House. And since there are 218 Republicans, you need 110 to support the bill. Only 101 voted for it or supported it. So there's another violation. And so, again, and this goes along with what we're seeing coming out of the White House, total ignorance and lawlessness, no rule of law, no following protocols, just doing whatever they want to do. Same thing over in the Senate and now in the House, where you would expect Republicans to be a law and order, rule of law caucus. We're getting anarchy. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is you as a voter need to remember this. And we all need to send a message loud and clear to Speaker Johnson, Steve Scalise, Elise Stefanik, and the rest of the leadership and the rhinos who are in the House and over in the Senate. It may take a while, because it's not going to happen overnight. But one by one, we're going to pick you off. We're going to find great MAGA candidates, America First candidates. We're going to find them, we're going to fund them, and we're going to elect them. And it's going to start on 5 November 2024. So just keep that in mind. I know you're disappointed, and again, I just don't. I was initially optimistic about Speaker Johnson. Maybe he was a fighter. Maybe he would be able to withstand. It's a tough fight. I'm not saying it's easy. It is not an easy fight. And it's one that, you know, you're going to get your hands dirty. And I understand in the interest of compromise. Look, it was the whole thing about keeping the government open. You had to pay the military. You got to pay the Department of, not the Department of Homeland Security is doing anything. They're not securing the border. They might as well shut them down. But our military, that was why many reasons, people like Ryan Zinke and others, Ipatch, McCain, they were voting for this bill because it was going to help pay the military. And that's exactly what Democrats do on a repeated basis. They tie all this Christmas tree wish list stuff, all the woke, radical left, Marxist causes to the military. You know, Republicans can't vote against the military and don't want to vote against the military. That's the reason why we need single subject bills. That's the reason at some point in time there's going to be a hill to die on. And there's going to be a leader that's going to lead that charge up the hill. And right now it's clear it is not Speaker Johnson. So remember, don't get mad. Just get even this November.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
Thanks again for joining us. Don't forget to spread the word. This is a very pivotal election year, about 229 days to go until the next presidential election. And join us Tuesday for our next full episode of the Sean Casey Show, a podcast for patriots. Until then, fight hard to stay free.